السلام عليكم. This is track 4 of chapter 1.
والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I must apologize coming late. We had gone out with a brother for the past 3 hours to fulfill a need of faith. So, but we came back late. We beg Allah to overlook our mistakes. Our start time, inshallah, still remains 4:30. We are basically concerned with the Mukhtasar of Sheikh Al-Albani. So, by his own numbering, with reading from Hadith 4, but from the numbering of the rest of us, they have Hadith 5. The hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the second so hadith 4 by his own Tarki, but perhaps hadith 5 by other Tarkima. Alaykum as-salam. And don't forget Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, who will bring his asanid in this book. Sheikh al-Albani rahmahullah will bring them Mahdufat al-Asanid. He had removed the Asanid because it is from his Mukhtasar. So he said, an Ali ibn Abi Talib qala radiyallahu anhu lam yakun al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam bil-tawil wala bil-qasir shaflu al-kaffain wal-qadamain ضخم الرأس ضخم الكراديس طويل المسربة إذا مشى تكفأ تكفؤا كأنما ينحط من صبب لم أر قبله ولا بعده مثله صلى الله عليه وسلم. علي بن أبي طالب, we are reading from the bab where Imam al-Tirmidhi called it Babu ma ja'a fi khalqi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what has been reported regarding the physical features of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And in this hadith reported by Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we remember that Ali ibn Abi Talib, his father Abu Talib, is the brother of Abdullah, who is the father of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Abu Talib has a brother. His name is Abdullah. Abdullah is the father of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Abdullah and Abu Talib are from the children of Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib, his real name is Shaybatu Hamd. Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his real name is Shaybatu Hamd. He began to be called Abdul Muttalib. Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya mentioned how he began to be called Abdul Muttalib. He was said to be lost in the days of Jahiliyyah, Abdul Muttalib. He got lost. And when he was found in Medina, for about 2 years they did not find him. So his uncle Muttalib went in search of him and found him. So when he was returning with him to Mecca, people saw him at the entrance and started saying, oh, the slave boy of like the one who was found by Muttalib. So that was how he began to be called Abdul Muttalib. Else, his own name is Shaybatu Hamd. And we know it is his descendants that are referred to as Ahlul Bayt, the descendants of Abdul Muttalib, from whom we have the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father Abdullah. We have Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. He died in the Battle of Uhud. We had others amongst them, Abbas, the father of Abdullah ibn Abbas. We had Al-Harith. There are about 10 of them. It's good to always know about these people. It helps us to retain the history of that period and the connection between these people. So Ali ibn Abi Talib is the cousin fourth cousin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because his father Abu Talib and the father of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah, are from the same father Abdul Muttalib. So it would mean that Fatima radiallahu anha, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam married to Ali ibn Abi Talib, is like a second stage cousin to Ali ibn Abi Talib, because the Prophet and Ali were the first cousins, and then the Fatima radiallahu anha is the daughter of the cousin of the Prophet, is the wife of the cousin of the Prophet, who is Ali ibn Abi Talib. So this was the relationship between them, and there's a lot of benefit being the wife, being the husband of the Prophet's daughter, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ali radiallahu anhu was the husband of the Prophet's daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha. There's a lot of benefit in that. And we remember she died 6 months after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was Amirul Mu'minin. He was Amirul Mu'minin after Uthman ibn Affan was assassinated by the Kharijiyya. So Ali ibn Abi Talib reported this hadith. What we are saying in essence is that this hadith is also being reported by someone who has lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has been seeing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Ali ibn Abi Talib took the dots of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He bathed the Prophet after he died, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ali ibn Abi Talib did that. So the person who is telling us about the Prophet now, alayhi salatu wasalam, like that of Anas ibn Malik, was someone who saw the Prophet many times. There are some of the companions who will say that they can't describe the Prophet Muhammad, like Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As was one of the worst enemies of the Prophet Muhammad. When the Prophet sent the Muslims to Abyssinia, he was one who went to An-Najashi first. He was sent to be the friend of An-Najashi. So as the Muslims were talking, he was talking to contradict them. But An-Najashi, Allah guided him, and he became a Muslim. So he, whatever he had as a plot, it could not affect him. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim where he said, at that time, the worst person ever to him, the person he hated most, was Prophet Muhammad. And that his greatest task at that time was to kill the Prophet. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Amr ibn al-As. He said, if he were told at that time that he would go to Jahannam, he would believe. He said, but when he accepted Islam, and he accepted Islam towards the end of the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he accepted Islam, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, this is from the fadail of Amr ibn al-As. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, aslama an-nasu kulluhum wa amanu wa amana ibn al-As. Aslama an-nas wa amana ibn al-As. People believed, people accepted Islam. Well, he had iman. And that's why a day after he accepted Islam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made him to lead a battle. Amr ibn al-As. A day after he accepted Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam made him lead a battle. The battle of Zatu Salasil. It was led by Amr ibn al-As. So when some people were complaining, the Prophet told them this. You people accepted Islam, but he accepted Iman. And so, we know it's hadith. What I'm saying to say is that he was saying, radiallahu anhu, that when at that time, because he's going to Zatu Salasil, it confirmed the Prophet's statement that while the people were accepting Islam, Amr ibn al-As actually accepted Iman. Just a day after. They were in the battle, and there was severe cold as we have now. And the people, he slept and had janaba. So he met Tayammah. The people were shouting, ah, our imam met Tayammam from Janaba. He said, that is what I will do. When they returned, they went to report him to the Prophet. This hadith is in Bukhari. They went to report him to the Prophet Muhammad. So the Prophet asked him, are you leading the people when you are in Janaba? He said, no. That faqad sami'tu rabbi yaqul. I heard my Lord saying, this is hujjah, that Quran is kalamullah. لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَسْمَعُهُ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّهِ. He said, سَمِيْتُ رَبِّي يَكُمْ. I heard my Lord said, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. A day after is Islam. He's telling the people that, look, Allah said, don't kill yourself, because I, your Lord, I am merciful to you. So how would I have been showing mercy to me if there was severe cold? and I had to take ghusl with cold water. How am I being merciful to myself? So that was evidence that the prophet's statement yesterday that people accepted Islam, but he had iman. It was the perfection of it. Because there were eminent people who had accepted Islam earlier, like his son Abdullah, earlier than him. And they were still challenging him. So he said, radiallahu anhu, if you were told in the times of Jahiliyyah that you would enter hellfire, they would accept. But later when the Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said he became so beloved. This is Mahal Shahid in talking about Amr. That he's so much like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said he can't look at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said if he is told to describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now, he can't describe him. He said because he could not look at his face. Out of reverence and respect for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So there were some of the companions who are like that. But there were some that were with him all day, all night. Like we mentioned of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. And this is the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, is from those who took the bath of the Prophet Muhammad. So it meant that he saw him, he was with him, he lived with him. In fact, the first young man to accept Islam was Ali ibn Abi Talib. The first young man to accept Islam was Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he's being described to us, alayhi salatu wasalam, by someone who lived with him, who saw him, who married his daughter, to whom he entered whenever he wanted, alayhi salatu wasalam. He would go into his house and even waiting for Qiyamul Layl. So he's being told to us, he's being described to us by someone who really knows him. And that is, in this case, Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, radiallahu anhu, that لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بالطويل. The Prophet was not tall. In the first hadith, what did it say? ليس بالطويل البائن. So he's saying that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was not as tall that you can say he's tall. ولا بالقصير. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was not what? A short person. So he was not tall, he was not short. He was in between, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And we mentioned to us that simply the Arabs refer to as what? That as what? Marbu'an or Rab'atan. So he was Marbu'an alayhi salatu wasalam. He said he was what? Shafnul kaffain wal qadamain. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam is Shafnul kaffain. Shafnul kaffain ghalibu al asabi al kaffain wal qadamain. That is his fingers, the fingers of his leg and his hands are thick. He had thick fingers. That is typical of a man. Because to have thin, light fingers are typical of women. But to have thick, bony, strong-looking fingers of both the palms, alayhi salatu wasalam, we are talking about a man that Allah gathered in him the strength of 40 men. So you should not be expecting a lanky person. He's not expecting. If people, when Allah was talking about the companions, he was saying Rijalun, Rijalun, Rijalun. Will he be referring to them as Rijal and they don't have symbols of Rajula? So if the companions had symbols of Rajula, what about the leader of the companions? So don't be surprised. So why the same thing when he said he is Ba'idul Mankibain, Ba'idul Ma Bain al Manki, he had broad chest. He should, because this is from manhood. When he says his beard is thick, yes, he should, because this is from manhood. We'll read other aspects of him. He had bones, thick bones. His joints were thick, and his bones were thick. He's really looking like a man. He was never looking like a woman. We'll mention it. Before Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't have a round face, like the face of a woman. No, he had a long face that cannot be said to be round, and that cannot be said to be long, just looking like a man and in the average of it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was really manly. So from that is that he had shafnul kaffain wal qadamain. He had the fingers of his kaffain, two palms, wal qadamain, and his two legs. The fingers of his legs and his feet and his palms were what? They were thick fingered. He said he is what? Dakhmur ra'as. His head is full. He's the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's full. He's not flat-headed or oblong-headed. He has a full head. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He was really manly. And combine that with his asmarul lawn, his color, that is not abiyad al-amhaq, wala bil adam. He is not abiyad al-amhaq, the whiteness of an albino. He was not. And he was not completely brownish. His whiteness is something that has brown tinges, especially in the areas that the sun regularly touches his body. So you may imagine someone who was very handsome, alayhi salam. So he was dakhmul ra'as, his head was full. He was also, alayhi salatu wa salam, he was also, before we leave that, Al-Imam Abd al-Rahman al-Mubarakfuri was saying, and so did Imam al-Hafiz al-Hajar too in his book, Fathul Bari, that yes, despite the fact that the fingers of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wa salam, were thick, he had thick fingers, he said it is what ma'alim fil jild. He said if that is followed with lean fil jild, freshness, smoothness, lightness, tenderness, good, tenderness of his skin. You are looking at somebody whose bones are thick. At the same time, as thick as it is, you'll be imagining that to be hard. But when you touch it, and that was why Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reported this hadith. He said, ma masastu hariran wala dibajan aliyana min kafil nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I never touched a silk or a dibaj. This is because dibaj is a kind of silk too. So the ulama say this is the artful khas al-am. Dibaj is a kind of silk. He said, ma masastu hariran. I never touched any silk. Wala dibajan, or a kind of silk that is called dibaj, aliyana min kafil nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is so soft and tender like the palm of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a palm when you grab it, you don't like to leave it. Just by the fact that you are looking at it, it is bony and strong. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, that hadith is contained in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu reported something similar. He said, أَرْضَفَنِي النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي خَلْفَهُ فِي سَفَرٍ أَرْضَفَنِي خَلْفَهُ فِي سَفَرٍ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم put him behind his ride one day on a journey. He said, فَمَا مَسَّسْتُ شَيْئًا قَطُّ أَلْيَنَ مِنْ جَلْدِهِ مِنْ جَلْدِهِ مَا مَسَّسْتُ شَيْئًا قَطُّ أَلْيَنَ مِنْ جَلْدِ رَسُولِهِ. I never touched anything ever that as tender as the skin of the top. Of course, somebody riding behind you, sometimes your body touches and you find that this, subhanAllah, this body is soft. So the Prophet's body, alayhi salatu wasalam, was very soft. It was a combination of niceness and goodness and manhood and neatness and all of this beauty that we have described of him and handsomeness, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is also what? Dakhmul karadis. His joints were dakhm. His joints, ru'usul izam. His knees, his elbows were thick. You know, that is from the symbols also of what? Of manhood, of really being a man. He said is what? Tawilul masruba. The Prophet is alayhi salatu wasalam, tawilul masruba. The masruba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is tawil. In another hadith, it says like kal'afr. It's like a long pole. The masruba is the hair that flows from a man's chest down to his navel. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he has long flowing hair from his chest alayhi salatu wasalam to his navel. So it's tawilul masruba. This is the masruba, the hairs between on the chest that flows down to the navel. Iza masha takaffa'a takaffu'an. When he walks, we describe that, I think in one of the hadiths we read. When he walks, alayhi salatu wasalam, he walks like a man descending a slope, takaffa'a. He surges ahead. He moves. In some hadiths, it said that he moves his leg from the ground, he does not drag his feet on the ground. He moves like a man going down a slope. How does he move? You see, he's moving. So that's how he goes. alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, it describes it. He says, ka'annama yanhattu min sababin. As if it is descending a slope. Ka'annama yanhattu sababin. So when he goes, takaffa'a, takaffu'an, ka'annama yanhattu sababin. So he moves ahead as if he is descending a slope. But that's how he moves on the platform. So he moves, he's a man. You know, sometimes people move and you're telling them, please move ahead. I mean, why walk like a woman? So the Prophet was moving, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, radiyallahu anhu, lam ara qablahu wala ba'dahu mislahu. Said, lam ara qablahu wala ba'dahu mislahu. I have never seen before him wala ba'dahu or after him mislahu, anything like him in terms of beauty and handsomeness. Ali said that, radiallahu anhu. But Ali radiallahu anhu was not born when the Prophet was born. So why is he saying qablahu? Ali radiallahu anhu was a young person. He was not born when the Prophet was already alive. So why is he saying qablahu? Ulama say qabla mawtihi. So when the Prophet was alive, alayhi salatu wasalam, before he died, lam ara mislahu, wala ba'dahu, is after he died. So when the Prophet was alive, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ali radiallahu anhu did not see anything as handsome as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Wala ba'dahu, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was already late, he still did not see anything that was what? As handsome as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can look at the hadith again. It said, an Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu qala, lam yakun an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bit-tawil. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lam yakun bit-tawil, was not a tall person, wala bil-qasir, and he was not a short person, alayhi salatu wasalam. Shafd al-kafain wal-qadamain. He had thick bones from the fingers of his hands and his feet. Dakhmul ra'af. He is full-headed. Dakhmul kawadis. His joints are bold and huge. Tawilul masruba. The hairs between his chest, that runs from his chest to his navel, are long. Iza masha. He has a long hair from his chest to his navel. Iza masha, when he walks, takaffa'a takaffu'an, he surges ahead, ka'annama yanhattu min sababin, as if he is descending a slope. He says, radiallahu anhu, lam ara qablahu wala ba'dahu mislahu. I have never seen anything before he died or after his demise that is as handsome as him, alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi said, it is hadithun hasanun sahihun. Mashaykh al-Albani said the hadith is sahih, but that this isnad you have in this book is weak. He says, wa sanaduhu da'ifun lakin lahu turkun ukhra yutaqawwa biha. He has other chains of narrations which can strengthen it. In the Ahmad, that chain is contained, or those chains are contained in the report of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal wa Ibn Sa'd fi al-Tabaqat. Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and Ibn Sa'd in his book al-Tabaqat. So the isnad of this hadith is sahih. That statement of Imam al-Tirmidhi is contained in his book al-Sunan. So it's an authentic hadith. There are also aspects of this hadith that's contained in some other ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. So it's an authentic hadith, inshallah. The following hadith, by his own tarqim, the fifth hadith, but if we look at some other numbering, tarqimat, I think it should be the sixth hadith. This, he started from Ibrahim ibn Muhammad. He said, Ibrahim ibn Muhammad min walad Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu qala كان علي إذا وصف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لم يكن رسول الله بالطويل صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الممغط ولا بالقصير المتردد وكان ربعة من القوم لم يكن بالجعد القطط أو بالجعد القطط ولا بالصبر كان جعدا رجلا لكن رجلا I think there is a typographic error there. It's either رجلا أو رجلا أو what? أو رجلا رج أو رج أو رجلا I think it should be the كسر should be the را should have a فتح So رجلا ولم يكن بالمطهم ولا بالمكلسم وكان في وجهه تدوير أبيض مشرب أزعج العينين أهدب الأشفار جليل المشاش والكتد أجرد ذو مصروبة شفن الكفين والقدمين إذا مشى تقلأ كأنما ينحط من صبب وإذا التفت التفت معا بين كتفيه خاتم النبوة وهو خاتم النبيين أجود الناس صدرا وأصدق الناس لهجة وألينهم عريقة وأكرمهم عشرة من رآه بديهة هابه ومن خالطه معرفة أحبه يقول ناعته لم أر قبله ولا بعده مثله This hadith is a hadith of Ibrahim ibn Muhammad Ibrahim ibn Muhammad Muhammad من ولد علي بن أبي طالب Ibrahim is one of the reporters of hadith If he reports a hadith, Imam al-Hafiz al-Hajar said he's Saduq Hassan al-Hadith. But his father Muhammad is Imam min al-A'immah. He is the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib from another wife that he had. But the woman was a slave woman of his. That woman, her name is Khawla. So they call her Khawla al-Hanafiyyah. Hanafiyya is with the dog tadbit of Imam al-Hafiz al-Mizzi. Some people call it Hanfiyya. Imam al-Hafiz al-Mizzi mentioned it as what? Al-Hanafiyya. I could not make Tamiz, I could not make Tarjih until I came here. So you can still find out which is most correct. To say Hanfiyya or Hanafiyya. So she is, her name is Khawla. She was a slave of his. And he had the boy or the imam, his name is Muhammad. So they used to refer, ascribe him to his mother, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah. Hanafiyyah was a slave woman of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he had a lot of children. Ali ibn Abi Talib had a lot of children. And he had a lot of wives. He was from those who employed the vast of istibdad. You can see that in his tarjuma in Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya of Imam al-Hafiz ibn Kathir. He used one ibara. He said, Lahu zawjat kathirat. So he had, you know, that. Some of them were divorced, some of them died like that. So from his children is Al-Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hanfiyyah. He is the one that the Shia, some of them claim that he's not dead till today. That he's going to come back at the end of time. The Shia had tashayyu regarding him also. So Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah is from the children of Ali ibn Abi Talib. If you read the biography of Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he was dying, he was around him, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah. And he was telling his two children, Hassan and Hussein, he held his hand and handed it over to the two of them that they should take care of him. They should know that he loves him as he loves the rest of them. That is Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah. So min waladi Ali ibn Abi Talib. Why it was necessary to mention that he is from the children of Ali ibn Abi Talib is that because they say Ibn al-Hanafiyyah, so that we don't think that he is somebody else. Still, Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's his name. If you go to Kutub al-Tarajim, you may not see Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah there. What you see is Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. You now say al-mashhur bi ibn al-Hanafiya. That is who is popularly known as Ibn al-Hanafiya. Radiyallahu anhu. So this hadith was reported from Ibrahim, the son of Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya, who is the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So Ibrahim was reporting from who? His grandfather. Walam yudriku. But he did not meet Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, and he's reporting with an ana from Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he's saying, Ali said, or on the authority of Ali radiallahu anhu, he has not said he heard from Ali radiallahu anhu. So this hadith is weak. This hadith is da'if. So all of what we are going to say now, if you find its meaning in an authentic hadith, you accept it to be correct. If you don't find its meaning in an authentic hadith, you just leave it like that. Because what it means by it being weak is that the preponderance of evidence shows that it cannot be proven to have been said by Ali ibn Abi Talib. So whatever is inside that is proven to have been said in another hadith is right and should be depended upon. But whatever is inside it but is not known to have been proven in another authentic hadith will just be heard and left like that because it is weak. It cannot be said that that is how the Prophet is. So this hadith we are reading now is a weak hadith. But we read it and tell us what it means because we are reading the book. So we just read it across and not bother ourselves so much except to try to make us know what is inside the book. So Ibrahim said, Kan Aliyun iza wasafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala. He said, when Ali describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بالطويل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was not long. He was not sorry here. Tall عليه الصلاة والسلام. الممجب is like الطويل البائن. لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالطويل البائن. So this is accepted. Cool. We have other hadith that had indicated that he was not طويل. Al-ba'in. Al-mumaggat means something that is extensive. So he's saying the Prophet was not extensively tall. That's accepted. Wala bil-qasir al-mutaraddid. He was not also short, such that when you look at him, it appears that his bones are one bone clinked into another bone. You know, some people are so short. When you look at them, it's as if their bones are interlocking. Because of the shortness, mutaraddid, I see the bones are, you know, arranged upon one another. He was not like that, alayhi salatu wasalam. Bal kana ala tuli akrab. It was said that he is closer to being tall than short. So he is not al-qasir al-mutaraddid. Before alayhi salatu wasalam was not short, but looking so short, I see his bones are arranged one above the other. وَكَانَ رَبْعَةً مِنَ الْقَوْمِ is describing the first لَيْسَ بِالْطَوِيلِ وَلَا بِالْقَصِيرِ وَكَانَ رَبْعَةً that is his middle height. He said مِنَ الْقَوْمِ that is if he's walking around the people, he says middle height. The tall person cannot say he's short. The short person cannot say he's tall. It's in between being short and tall. لَمْ يَكُنْ بِالْجَعْدِ الْقَطِطِ the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. This part aspect is also authentic. We find it in an authentic hadith before. So لَمْ يَكُمْ بِالْجَعْدِ الْقَطُطِ His ears are curly, but not extensively curly. الجعد الْقَطُطِ His hairs are curly, but not extensively curly. That's why he's described as what? رَجِلًا. You remember? The kind of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَجِلًا or رَجُلًا or رَجْلًا. That is, his hairs are long and they are curly, but not so curly, tight curly. It is in between being described as curly and what? Stretched. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So, لَمْ يَكُمْ بِالْجَعْدِ الْقَطِطِ وَلَا بِالصَّبْطِ He was not also what? So free-flowing. It was not curly, his hairs were not curly, and we are not also flowing. كَانَ جَعْدًا The curly, the nature of the curly hair is what? Ridgeland. But we say here that this ridge is not, ridge is a leg. it is either rajlan or rajulan, as is in another riwayah in Sahih Muslim, or rajilan, as is in the riwayat of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. وَلَمْ يَكُمْ بِالْمُطَهَّمْ The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, لَمْ يَكُمْ بِالْمُطَهَّمْ He was not a man that had, it describes here, كَثِيرُ اللَّحَمْ That is, when you look at him, alayhi salatu wasalam, he is not obese. I think that is one easy way of describing al-mutahhar. The Prophet was not an obese person. Look at him, kathiru laham, all his toes, he's swollen, the neck, he's swollen, the ribs, the hands, everywhere. You know, if you land in some airports in some parts of the world, you see human beings that for them to move, they have to carry all parts of the body. He was not like that. He was not al-mutahham. Wala bil-mukalsami. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not also round-faced. You know, most obese people are round-faced because the obesity grows around the face wherever there should be oblong, whatever the meat is there to cover it up, so you have seen something round. He was not la bil mutahham wa la bil mukassan. He was not obese and he was not what? Round face. وَكَانَ فِي وَجْهِهِ تَدْوِيرٌ But he still had some roundness in his face. That is, his face is not also long. That you can say his long face or oblong, you know, headed. He couldn't even be oblong headed because it is what we described his head. ضَخْمُ الرَّأَفْ His head is full. So it's not possible that it is also oblong. عليه الصلاة والسلام. أَبْيَضُ مُشْرَبٌ He is white, but the whiteness is what? Mushrab, that is tinted with some red tinges. That's also in another hadith called Asmarul Lawn. I think we did that. Kana Asmarul Lawn. He was Asmarul Lawn. He was reddish in his whiteness. Ad Ajul Aynayn. These two eyeballs are black. And the blackness is real black. He was not a bluish, you know, eyed person, you know, blue-eyed person, like Europeans. Yeah, blue eye. But the Prophet's eyes, alayhi salam. So you can imagine how his eyes will shine from his asmarullah, from his, you know, whiteness that's not like that of the albino, but also shining. And then he's thick-eyed, and he's thick-boned, he's fleshy, and his body is, alayhi salatu salam, smooth. And even at that, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not obese. Ad ajul aynayn. The two eyeballs are what? Black. Ahdab al ashfar. Ahdab al ashfar or ahdab al ashfar. Depending on how you read it from the beginning. Ahdab al ashfar. He had, alayhi salatu wasalam, his eyelids are long. The hairs on his eyelids. They are long. Jalilul Mushash. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had mushash that are jalil. His joints are huge. They are strong looking. Wal katad. The same thing. He is cut. Al katfain. If you look at this back, we see a shoulder blade. The shoulder blade here. These points where this shoulder blade meets here is like the middle of the shoulder. Here, at the, I think you can call that the upper part of the back, alayhi salatu wasalam. They are thick. All of these are from descriptions of manhood. Even when, if we don't find these, like we said at the beginning of this hadith, if we don't find these descriptions in authentic hadiths, we will not say that is how it is. We are just trying to explain what is written here, because this hadith is weak. Don't forget. So, he has Jalil al-Mushash, his joints are bold. And while cutted, the upper part of his back is said to be, similar to the right way to express it, is said to be also huge. It is what Ajraduzu Masrubatin, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is describing this hadith, is that, look at it. They said he is Masruba is Ajrad, that is Mujarrad, that is no hair there between his chest and his navel. You know this contradicts a hadith that's okay. That's from the evidences that this hadith is weak. A very weak hadith. So the other authentic hadith says he has a hair that is long between his chest and his navel. But this one says no, he doesn't even have any hair there. So, shafnul kafain wal qadamain. Aha, he has the fingers of his thumbs and his feet being what? Being thick. We know that in an authentic hadith code. Iza masha, when he walks, taqalla'a ka'annama yanhattu min sababin. Taqalla'a, he raises his leg. You know, when you are descending a slope, if you don't raise your leg, you wound yourself. So he moves his leg. Taqalla'a, he raises his leg on the ground as he moves. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Ka'annama yanhattu min sababin. As if he is descending, the way he moves is like a person's descent in a slope. This also in an authentic hadith code. وَإِذَا التَّفَتَ التَّفَتَ مَعًا يعني بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. When he turns to you wholly. If he turns to you, he turns all of his body. When he turns all of his body. Until we can confirm that in an authentic hadith. But I think there's a hadith on this in Adab al-Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. That the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I mentioned it last week, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he talks to the people, he faces them. So that's also confirmed, inshallah. Bayna katfayhi khatam al-nubuwa. Between his two shoulders, there is a khatam that he has, the seal of messengership. We are coming to a whole chapter on that, that will tell us how that seal is. We would have heard it. The Prophet had a seal on his back. Alayhi salatu wasalam. It was that seal that Salman al-Farisi was looking for. He touched the seal. The seal is behind him here. The seal that this is the last messenger of Allah. How is that seal? We'll read it here, inshallah. It's a whole chapter on it. So that's also found in an authentic hadith. It says, وَهُوَ خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. He has a seal and he is actually, alayhi salatu wasalam, the seal of all messengers. The meaning of seal of messengership does not mean that seal alone. Because the Gulamis, they refer to themselves as Ahmadis. They say that, yes, that seal can't be given to any other person. Say no. He's been the seal of Anbiya, aside that he has a seal. He's been a seal means the end of Anbiya. That's why he himself, when he mentioned that hadith, he said, La Nabiya Ba'di. He says, he's Khatamul Anbiya. He added it to make you understand that the seal does not mean the Ta'wil al-Batil of the Gulamist. In a sense, Wa La Nabiya Ba'di. This hadith, La Nabiya Ba'di, is reported by over 21 companions of the Prophet. It's hadith mutawatir. But after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no other messenger shall come. No other sharia shall come. So that's why when people come to start saying that there is a one gulam, young dirty boy that calls himself a Nabi. Because he claimed to have received a wahi. And he referred to that wahi as Bara'in al-Ahmadiyya. Some of them call it Bara'in al-Muhammadiyya. That is the science of Muhammad. Muhammad related signs. That's what he referred to the wahyu that he claimed to be receiving. Because all of that are lies. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we are just trying to say here that Khatamul Nabiyyin is the end of all the prophets of Allah. He is Ajwadun Nasi Sadran. This also found in Ahadith Ko and in verses of the Quran. So this is also correct here. He is what? Ajwadun Nasi Sadran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the nicest of people, most benevolent of people, or the most nice of people in his heart. Of course, why not? Alayhi salam. I know he told us that inna fil jasadi mudga, that there is a muscle of flesh in the body. When it is upright, all of the body is upright. So, and he told us that he is the most upright person. So there is no way except that we find that he is ajwadun nas sadra. His heart is the best of hearts. You can also say that it's from the most benevolent of people. The Prophet was benevolent, at least. In the Adab al-Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, the Imam brought a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Azan was called, the Iqamah was made for Salah. And he went in front to commence a Salah, just to say Allahu Akbar and start the Salah. A Bedouin Arab grabbed him on his neck and dragged him behind. Say, come and fulfill my need before you start the Salah. So the Prophet went to him to decide, what's the need? He fulfilled his need, he came back and said, Allahu Akbar, and continued the Salah. The ulama explain this hadith that the companions did not start fighting. Beat it today. As people have become today. Yes. And that's one of the reasons, is because the leaders themselves, we are not talking about PDP leaders, so we are talking about teachers and learned people who teach people in Masjid. They are not afraid to people that a person can come to their face and say, please, I need so. How much more do you want to start Salah? I'm just to say Allah, they feel the comma. They are this in Adab al-Mufrad. Just for you to say Allah, before you say Allah, Allah. And we even know the hadith, this one is in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Anas bin Malik in Kutub al-Sunan. He was on the mimbar, somebody can say, hey, what khutbah are you doing? When everywhere is dry, no water, no food, the animals are dying. Will you not pray to Allah to give us rest? Okay, Allah, he was praying. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu did not finish the salah of that Juma that day before the rain started. They all got wet to their houses, and the rain did not stop until the next week. The same person or some other person asked in that hadith came and said, oh, you, what khutbah are you doing? Everywhere, water is full everywhere. Allahumma hawalayna la alayna. Oh Allah, around us, not inside us. Anas ibn Malik said, they were asking those who were at the outskirts of Medina when they came into Medina, what did you find? They said they found a ring around Medina. That is the ring of rain. Because he said, hawalayna, around us, la alayna, we don't want it on us again. Allah answered immediately. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen has been speaking this hadith. He said, this is one of the evidences that there is Allah. He said, because he called him Allah, do this, and immediately he's doing it. See, there is somebody called Allah. He's Sharon Akida to Lawasitiya. So this is evidence that there is Allah. He called him, he answered. Rahimahullah, Imam, is big sick. So this is evidence that there is Allah and that he is called, and that when he is called, he answers. So we are trying to say that those people, they know the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he is nice hearted and is easy with the people. So they could present their demands to him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So wa asdaqul nasi lahjatan, when he speaks alayhi salatu wasalam, his speech is most truthful. That's why it's called what? As-sadiqul masdiq. When he's talking, it's nothing other than truth. And they know that he's not any affected by anything. That is the truth that he is saying, alayhi salatu wasalam al-ameen. He says, wa al-yanuhum arikatan, and he is most easy. Arika is his tabi'ah. In his nature, the way Allah has created, he's an easy-going person. All of these until we find them. Yes, the Prophet is easy going in other hadith. Not because of this one. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa akramuhum ishratan. And in his dealings with people, he is the most honorable. Akramuhum. Most honorable of the people, ishratan. In his dealings with people. The Prophet is very honorable. He deals with people very honorable. Does not disgrace the people. Many people, they are dealing with people, the first thing they like to do then is disgrace them. We are not picking this from this hadith. There are other hadiths that show that the Prophet is very honorable when he deals with people. Alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith says, مَا رَآهُ بَدِيهَةً هَابَهُ. If you just saw him like this, you'd be scared of him. You have haiba. You have haiba alayhi salatu wasalam. That is self-respect. Once you see him, you like to respect him. Ha, who is this? Because he is easygoing, he faces what he does, he's straightforward, he goes where he goes. وَمَنْ خَالَطَهُ مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّهُ. Ah, so when you see him just badihatan, habahu, you revere him. But إِذَا خَالَطَهُ, when you now mix up with him, مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّهُ, you relate with him, you now love him. Yes. People like Amr ibn al-As again. The day he accepted that his Islam, that he accepted radiyallahu anhu, because it was a wonderful acceptance. Oh, the day he accepted Iman, that he accepted radiyallahu anhu, he placed his hand in front. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also brought his hand. So when the Prophet was bringing his hand, he withdrew his hand. He said, Anas, this hadith is also in Adab al-Mufraj of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Say, Amru, Malaka, why did you do this that you have done? He said, this Islam, this Iman that I want to accept, with condition. So he mentioned the condition. The condition is that Allah should forgive me all my sins. The Prophet said to him, Allah tadri anna al-Islam yajubu ma qablahu. Do you not know that the mere fact that you accept Islam, all those things you had done before goes away? So he stretched his hand. You can see the kind of person Amr was. Radiallahu anhu. So he hated him, but when he dealt with him, he became the most beloved of the people to him. And in that hadith we are mentioning in Sahih Muslim, he said, that time, if I died, and if he said I'm going to Jannah, I know that it is true. I'm going to Jannah. He said before that, before he accepted Islam, if they told him that it is fire, I said yes. He said, but when after they accepted Islam, they said, it is Al-Jannah. He said, yes, it's Al-Jannah. Because they became so loving, beloved to the Prophet. So much that he was thinking that the Prophet loved him more than Abu Bakr. That was why he went to ask him, Man ahabbu nas ilayk. He was the one who asked the Prophet that question. Who is the most beloved of people to you? Ulama said, because he thought that he is the most beloved now. He don't like me past anybody. Yesterday I accept Islam, today make me leader of Jaish. He said, other people accept Islam, me na iman I accept, ha na me like past. So he went to ask him, alayhi salam, Man ahabbu nas ilayk? Say Aisha. Mina rijal abuha. Because he thought, okay. So when you relate to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you like him so much that you think that he likes you, are the one he likes best because of personal ishra. He deals with people nicely. And even with his wife and his children. He says, خيركم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهله. The best of you, the best of you are those who are best to their household, and I am the best of you to my household, or to his household. So if you deal with him, you like him. There are many ahadiths on this. So this statement is correct from other narrations from the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. يَقُولُ نَائِتُهُ نَائِتْ نَعْتْ. The one describing him. That lam ara qablahu ba'dahu mislahu. This statement appears to be referring to Ali ibn Abi Talib. That he said, and this is also authentic. How do we know? We find this in an authentic hadith. That lam ara qablahu ba'dahu mislahu. I have never seen before he died, nor after he died, anybody that is like him in handsomeness. And in anything, very sorry. The companions enjoyed seeing the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even the mushrikun were wondering that they've never seen a human being who led the people and his people love him so much. It was too great. It was a wonderful love they had for the Prophet. A love that they had for him, that Allah is confirming that they love him. Al-Nabiyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. They preferred to die. They preferred him to themselves. He gave preference to the Prophet Muhammad. He preferred to die. Whatever will harm the Prophet, they prefer that he harm them instead of the Prophet Muhammad. Because of their love for him. Radiallahu anhu. Qal Abu Isa. Who is Abu Isa? Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. Rahimahullah. He said, Sami'tu Aba Ja'far. And we have said that there is no discouragement in having a kunya with Abu Isa. سمعت أبا جعفر محمد ابن الحسين يقول I heard Abu Ja'far محمد ابن الحسين saying سمعت الأصمعي I heard الإمام الأصمعي يقول في تفسير صفة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام explaining regarding the attributes of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that الممغط would explain all these words in the main hadith. That Al-Mumaggat is Al-Zahibu Tula, the one who is extensively taught. Waqala, he said, Al-Imam Al-Asma'i said, Sami'tu A'arabiyyan, I heard a Bedouin saying, Fi kalamihi tamaggata fi nashabatihi. That he heard somebody using that word, tamaggata, saying that it means maddaha, maddan, shadida, he is describing something that's extensive. He says, "Wal mutaraddidu," the meaning of the word mutaraddid, we explained it earlier, that it is addakhilu ba'duhu fi ba'din hisran, something, one part getting into the other part in terms of a shortness. So when he describes Prophet, that is not al-qasirul mutaraddid, that is short and mutaraddid, is appearing as if his bones are interlocked. Is not. He says, وَأَمَّا الْقَطَ أَوْ قَطِ. Don't forget. We say it is either قَطَط أَوْ قَطِط. That it is what? فَالشَّدِيدُ الْجُعُودَ. That is extensive calling. It's not al-qata. That is not, his head is not extensively called. Then, وَالرَّجِلْ أَوْ رَجُ أَوْ رَجُ. They say it is what? الَّذِي فِي شَعْرِهِ حُجُونَةٌ. That is, they say, is the one that his hair has some stretches. A tasalin qalil, some stretch. وَأَمَّا الْمُطَهَّمْ. But as for that word, al-mutahham, it is al-badinu, somebody who is fat. We describe it as obese. Al-kathiru al-laham, all his body is flesh. Badin, huge, obese person. Al-kathiru al-laham, all his body is filled with what? Flesh. Wal-mukalsam, the person, the word mukalsam is al-mudawwaru al-wajh. Rounded face. Well, mushrab, that word mushrab, it means alladhi fi bayadihi humratun, the person that is white, but that white is tinted with some redness. And then al-adaj is shadid sawad al-ayn, that someone has an ayn, the blackness of the eye is what? Shadid, extensively black or dark. Then wal ahdab, he said it is what? Attawilul ashfar. That is, the eyelids are what? Tawil. The eyelids are long. And then al katib is mujtama'ul katfain. Mujtama'ul katfain. Where the two cuts converge. The two cuts don't converge in front. The two shoulders don't converge in our front. The two shoulders converge behind us. We have the shoulder blades and they converge there. It is called what? That point of convergence is called what? Al-kahil. That's why he said, وَهُوَ الْكَاهِلِ. They said, وَالْمَسْرُوبَ. That word masruba is the hairs, ordinarily, the hairs between the chest and the navel. They say, هُوَ الشَّعْرُ الدَّكِيكِ. It is one clear cut. Nice, soft-looking hair. Alladhi ka'annahu qadid. That's appearing like a rod. Min al-sadr ila surrah. From the chest to the what? To the navel. And then ash-shafn. We said it is what? Shafn al-kaffayn wal-qadamayn. Ash-shafn is al-ghalib al-asabi. That is, ghalib al-asabi. His fingers are what? Thick. Min al-kaffayn wal-qadamayn. The fingers of his hands and his feet. Wa-taqallu'u. The meaning of the word taqallu'u is an yamshiya bi-kuwatin. That he walks with strength, forcefully. And then it said, wa-sabab is what? Al-hudur. Descent. Descending something, descending a slope, the slope itself. It said, you call it, it said in Hadarna, we descended the suburban, we descended in a manner walking fast down the slope. Then what suburb? Suburb is the jam of the word. Waqaluhu is like describing the strange words in that hadith. وَقَالُهُ جَلِيلُ الْمُشَاشِ, that he is he's saying that he is dalil al-mushash, that the joints are thick. He say yuridu ru'us al-manakib. It meant the heads of the cuts, thick joints. It also refers to these joints too. They are thick, the elbow, not just the mankibain alone. Then he said, al-ishra to suhba. Al-ishra is suhba, companionship, dealing with people. And then al-ashir is as-sahib, a companion of the person. Who does, who carries out ishra? Well, badiha is al-maf-ja'a, that is doing something, just see him. He said, if you see him, he said, alayhi sir, in this hadith, that mara'ahu badihatan. So it is that badiha that is describing. It is maf-ja'a, just saw him like that. He said, yuqalu badahtuhu bi-amrin, that is, faja'tuhu, I surprised him, I surprised him in an affair. So that is the meaning of just ra'ahu badihatan, and he saw him just like that, without plan, no arrangement, no fixing, no something. So this aspect of all of these is what the scholars of hadith refer to as what? Gharibul hadith. Gharibul hadith is a whole section in ilmul hadith, the science of hadith, where words that are ordinarily strange are indicated and given their meaning. So from the things they did, and you can see from the first explanation that he gave, that the Imam heard an Arab using the word and said, okay, this is what it means. They used to do that. If you want to know how people employ words and use it, just see wait how those original speakers of that language employ that word. I remember when I was discussing Talak somewhere, I was saying that in Hausa, I was trying to explain Siyagu Talak bil Kinaya and Siyagu Talak Asfariha, the express statements, clear-cut statements of Talak, and the figurative or indirect statements of talaq. Because some of the a'imah like Imam Ibn Qudama in Al-Mughni mentioned that these statements must not only be in Arabic. The statements of talaq could also be in the individual languages of the speakers. As long as that statement means I divorce you, then it means I divorce you. In that case, that kind of a figure will be figure to talaq of fariha, an expression of talaq that is clear-cut. Because the difference between the ruling on the clear-cut statements and the indirect statements is that in the indirect statements, those are statements that could mean talaq or may not also mean talaq. Like Kadu Malik told his wife in the hadith of Tabuk, those who stayed behind in Ghazwat Tabuk, he said, Ilhaki bi ahliki, to go to your family. But Ilhaki bi ahliki, the Prophet used it with Ibn al-Jum, and it meant that he was divorcing her. You know the woman, this hadith is in Bukhari. The Prophet married a woman, her name is Ibnatul Jum. And when the Prophet sought to come near her, she said, A'udhu billahi mink. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ilhaki li ahliki fa innaki ulti bil azim. Go to your family, that is, I divorce you. So ilhaki now could mean, go to your family, go and stay there, go and eat to where there, go and eat amala, go and sleep there. Or just go and rest there. So it could also mean that I divorced you. So that statement, those indirect statements, if a person utters it to his wife, you'll be asked, what do you mean? Do you mean talaq or other than talaq? So the same thing in our languages. So one thing I wasn't getting clearly in Hausa language is to say sekeni or kaleni. If you say seki, I know that it means divorce. But seki could also mean leave something. I've heard children on the street playing, say Kenin Dala, say Kenin Dala. I've heard it many times. The same thing, Kaleni. So I wouldn't know which one, where under what would we put this? Will we put it under Sariha or Kinaya? Say Kenin. I'm not asking somebody to say Kenin. Where will we put it? Eh? You say, oh, no, you don't have an authority. Some authority, authority in Hausa language, you tell us. Who has authority? Alaykum salam.
I think what you understand by that language is
generally. No, that is the general usage.
No, the general understanding. That's anything that has to do with the verbal and voice.
Okay.
Once you say something, it means.
So if a man is holding his wife, the wife can say, that last Kenny, that means leave me. Can she say that? Answer this question, can she say that? It means the figure is indirect. Because we have to ask her, hey, what do you mean? What about Chaleni?
Like when you say to a Shege, for example, Shege could be a form of a praise in their language, and it could be an insult. Shege, like somebody doing something so strange.
Yes, what I'm saying is, to know whether Sekeni is a clear cut, it will not have any meaning than Tolak. In a statement, like when you utter, you will be asking that, what do you mean here? Once it can mean other than divorce, it's not clear cut. Alaykum salam. You see, you are no authority. You don't know how far is Ghanaian house I is a Ghanaian house I in the city. Now,
what I say is, the association of physical holding, and it's just
he can't use it. That he's talking to him. She's talking to him. I said, "Don't laugh, Kaleni. Can you say that?"
Kaleni means don't bother me.
But it also means leave me. I've seen children using leave me to mean Kaleni. Oh, everybody talking, no authority. Me and you, we are the same.
What about the intention?
That means they are not direct. They are indirect.
When there is no holding, Galilee can be maybe.
So you see all these things you are saying, they exist in Ilmul Hadith. That is the essence of this discussion. That there are some words, when you use it, if you remember when we are talking about Jad, or Jumma, that some people are saying, no, it's the head around the ears alone. Some people say, no, it will even extend up to the shoulder and all of this. That we use the riwayah to say that there is a riwayah that shows that the prophet's hair extends to the shoulder. To know that Jumma means a hair that extends from the head up to the shoulder. Things like this exist. So he starts saying, no, God doesn't have ends. He starts talking, this one is coming. So you can discuss this till tomorrow. So this branch of Ilm al-Hadith that deals with things like this is called what? Gharib al-Hadith. So that's why they mentioned Imam al-Tirmidhi started saying these words in this Hadith, this one means this, this one means that, this one means this, this one means that. We'll stop here, inshallah. If there are one or two questions, inshallah. Even when I believe, and based on what I heard from the authorities, that Sekemi is not a siga to talak, that is a sorry, it is a kinaya. But there will be a word in Hausa language that does not mean any other thing except I divorce you. I don't know that word. La Seke is siga. You just took key there, the mafulu, the manchu.
Alaykum salam. There are two people, almost two people, that she wants to get married to each other. So it happens that, you know, the girl applies for a genius, like, I'm glad that she's AF. And the boy also knows his genius, like, as AF, or likely to be at least that he's AF. But he's not seeking for a job, which the girl knows about it. So
they are married now.
No, they're not married. So he needs to do medical tests. So from there, because the girl got to know that the guy is also. So in that case, and the family gets to know about it, so they're all disappointed. So the girl goes, and they love each other. So the girl goes ahead to get married to him, or
she should go ahead to get married to a liar. That is mean Amriha. That is from her own affair. She go ahead to get, and she's a girl too, he's a guy, so she's a girl, he's a guy. See, those are the things. Maybe your question area should be, should Muslims be checking their blood group and all that? Usually things like that are put to the people involved. Those involved. If they decide to do it. I don't think that is from Gabe. There is no anything that is Gaba and Nadia in checking areas, because the knowledge about it is distinct, it's clear, it can be proven. It's like somebody telling me that the sun, the size of the sun as it's described is great. There is no any gate there. Put one instrument there on the ground there, you measure the size of the sun. Put one instrument on the ground there, you measure the size of the sun. So there is no any gate there. To say it's Rajman, to say that they are just tipping into the future, there is nothing like that. So if it can be verified, yes, they can do it. But some other people can also say, oh, they are not doing it. Yes, all that glitters is not good. The fact that they are AAA doesn't mean that they will have children. Yes. There are people, they don't have any children. But people have AAAS. Somebody told me that he has 3 children that are SS and he has 10 children. 3 SS. None of them has died. And he's coping them. He said he knows that if the 3 die like this, he will enter the Jannah straight with their shafar. So he's taking care of them well. Recently I saw one of those people. So there is nothing there. Because what you told Allah, perhaps it is by that you'll enter the Jannah. In kana hadha al-amru khairun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa akibat ahu ifa yasiru li wa. You are telling him that and you are still looking for AAS. No, that's why you see these matters are in the matters of Iman. Like we describe Amr ibn al-As. What do you think that you should take it at me? When Allah said that in Allah kana bi kura Iman, you say I should go and bath. No, I don't want it. Allah said this, the Prophet said this. He said, send me to Rabbi. I heard my Lord saying, actually he was there when that verse was released. Even when ulama hold that as evidence that Quran is kalamullah. Because he's tasma'u kalam. You hear kalam. I didn't say kalamu Muhammad, I said kalamu Rabbi. Send me to Rabbi. I heard my Lord saying. So all these matters are imani. And the iman of people are not in the same level. Sincerely, if Allah didn't give you fitna of SS, he give you another fitna. There are others. From them, it's not having a child at all. You check, you are A, you see O plus, O, anything. Allah test them, no children. Which one is more traumatic? To have a child that is SS or not to have at all? Ha! Allahu Akbar. Inna rabbaka fa'alu lima yurid. Says, بِاللَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ هِبَةً gift. That's what he employed. I give you what I like. If I like, give you girls. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ. If I also like, I give you boys. I'll use the وَجِهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. I combine them, give you men and women. So وَيَجَالُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَكِيمًا. When I like, I make you barren. As he likes. He does what he likes. So you go and sit down and say, yes. What is this one waiting for you? Do you know? You don't know. So the best is to beg Allah for the best, which you do in your istikhara. Except if some other thing becomes clear to you later. We are not saying that if a person says, me, I will do AS, so I will find out that it's wrong. But we are saying that they are not all the same. And it doesn't guarantee complete. But people say, but if we can know an evil, we'll block it now. Who told you that is evil? Who told you that to have access is evil? Anybody who can prove it that it is evil to have access will tell me. And it's not definite, it's not sure that you must have access. Maybe if you do the crossbreeding, you will have maybe four, you have AAAS, and then one or two SS. Instead of having one or two SS, the first two or three children you have will be AS, and Allah will make you to stop there. You understand what I mean? In genetics, they do the cross now. You know, in modern biology, sons and cousins, they cross one thing like this, and they say the child will be AS, SS. Coco. So it could be that Allah will give you three children. That fourth one that will be SS, he will never make you have it. So all your children will just be Allah can't do that one too. And put your human there that's what he will do for you. Allahu fi awnil abla. Anna fi vanni abdi bi. I am to my slave what he thinks of me. All those people, the prophet was not searching here. All those people are not searching all these areas. They are not searching. They didn't have time for that. It is so much of an evil. Allah would have created a way of knowing that time. But to cover all that and other than that, to give them Salatul Istikhara. So, and there is one misconception. Let me quickly say that about Salatul Istikhara people make up. You propose a sister, she has not told you what to do. She said, I will go and do Istikhara. Nothing like that. You make istikhara after you have himma for something. Is a hamma ahadukum amran. When you have already showed interest in a thing, that's when you go and do your istikhara. That Allah, this matter that I have shown interest in, not a matter over which you have not decided, you don't have any opinion. No, you have himma for it. You already invested your interest in that matter already. So for people say, I do this, I don't see anything. Who tell you say you go see something? So I've been doing Sahara, I didn't see anything. Did they tell you that you will see something? So you can ask him, so how do you know that your Sahara is like this? He said, because Allah will make that affair easy for you. And he will make it success for you in this dunya. And he will make it a means of success for you in the year after. They didn't see anybody who doing Sahara will see Kaaba, or you see white stain in the dream. Allahu Allah. Alaykum salam. Let's take these three questions quickly. One, two, three. Oh, four. Okay, inshallah. Quickly. Okay. Khafa'il is Khafa'if. It is Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, the features of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal-Khafa'ilu. Some of them say wal khafa'isu al mustafawiyya, and the specific trait, like he's having his khatamul nubuwa, is from the khafa'il or khafa'is. That is those things that are exclusive to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get that question. Alaykum salam.
And if someone has two or three wives, and he goes to the mother.
So if she agrees,
if
she, the one you'll be saying 2 days, what would you mean that you have 5 days there, 2 days here? If she agrees, labas, inshallah. Yes, with her consent. It's her right. Right. R-I-G-H-T.
Like you can use by Namur Yoga, Al-Iqtida. So, taking from the word Ayah from the Quran and Hadith Sharif, using it into another, and putting it into another list of how this practical thing.
What is the question?
Now, for example,
don't give me an example, okay. Just ask.
Okay, the question is, what is the position of the
Islam? It's permissible. It's one of the best ways of speaking Arabic. So using the asalib of Quran and Hadith. No Arabic is better than that mentioned by Allah in His book. Known by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it should not be employed in a way to disform the meaning that it had in its original source of Quran or Hadith. Last question.
The condition of the Hadith, Islam and love, and then who is actually Ibn al-Arabiyya?
Al-Hanafiya.
Al-Hanafiya is a slave woman of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Her real name is Khawla. She's from Banu Hanafi. So they went into a battle with them and she was taken as a slave. So that Muhammad is the son that she had for Ali ibn Abi Talib. So his name is what? Muhammad. So, but he just ascribed to her just to differentiate, I mean, to make people know that he is the son of that woman, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya. He is popularly known as Ibn al-Hanafiya. Otherwise, his real name is Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. We stop here, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك
وأتوب. Assalamu alaikum. By the permission of Allah, this documentation was done by Sharafuddin Abu Abdullah of Al Furqan Islamic Center. The contact remain 07039823963.